Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those the views are not necessarily those of the station you're listening to, their owners or management. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls. I hear at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dan Shahy. We're going to be talking about his book entitled Fighting Immigration Anarchy. Dan, thank you so very much for being with us. Dan, are you there? You're there. Okay, fine. It's good to have you with us again, and Dan has been on several of our other programs. He's written a fascinating book, so I'm going to let him introduce himself. How did you happen to get involved writing a book about immigration?
Well, I've been a professional writer for 30 years, both a broadcast and print journalist in the Washington, D.C. area, and a corporate communications writer and editor for several major corporations, but it wasn't until the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, that I began to take a very serious and strong interest in learning about immigration. And the more I learned, the more concerned, really frightened I became. And in early 2003, I came up with an idea to hopefully awaken other Americans to what I had learned by telling them about the seriousness of our illegal immigration crisis, and to also write about people who for many years have been warning Americans about what was coming and trying to awaken them. And that's really the theme of my book, is that regular Americans can achieve extraordinary things if they set their mind to it, like the people that I feature in my book.
And, of course, basically what you're talking about is the fact that the immigration is leading to a situation of growing anarchy in America, where it is not simply the illegal aliens who are violating our laws. It is the people at the highest levels of our government who are actively encouraging illegal immigration. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would. And a number of people, especially at my speaking engagements, say that the number one question on their minds is, Why would our president allow our country to be invaded by thousands of people illegally every single day? In fact, the figure is 10,000 come across our southern border illegally every day. And my answer to them is that President Bush and his administration, and unfortunately many people on Capitol Hill, have no intention of securing our borders. Their goal is to merge the United States with Mexico and Canada, and to complete this goal by the year 2010.
And, of course, this is part of a long-range plan, and there's really no difference between the leaders of the Republican Party and the leaders of the Democrat Party, are there?
There's none whatsoever, and it's quite astonishing that the United States of America is being abolished before our very eyes. And as you know, Dr. Stan, the reason the vast majority of Americans across the country don't know about this is because the news media refuses to tell them about it. Instead, they distract us with other things that really are not significant to our daily lives.
Or they try to make us feel guilty because some of the people coming into the country illegally die in the desert. And it is a tragic situation when anybody dies in the desert. But the difficulty is that our government is actively encouraging these people to go across the desert, to risk their lives, and for those who can get into America, it's like winning the lottery. Their life changes, and they become certainly dependent upon our society. Unfortunately, they are transforming our society. It is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. We'll be back in just a moment with Dan Shahy. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Dan Shahy, and we're basically talking about his book, Fighting immigration anarchy. And it really is immigration anarchy today. It is being encouraged not only by certain organizations like MALDEF and LULAC and the Ford Foundation. It is being encouraged by people at the highest levels of our government who have no loyalty to the United States. They have loyalty to a globalist dream, and that's why many times you get onto the telephone and you want to call a corporation, and first of all they'll give you a message in English, and then they'll give you a message in Spanish, and then they'll ask you a question, and then they'll ask the same question in Spanish, because they really want a multilingual, multicultural society. Dan, as you've been studying this, about how many immigrants, illegal immigrants, are there in the United States today?
Well, I wrote in my book a figure that was published in January of last year, as a matter of fact, by the Wall Street investment firm Bear Stearns, and the report states that there are 20 million illegal aliens in the United States today. Some people think the figure may be higher, others think it may be lower, but I'm sticking with the figure 20 million. I think it's a very realistic and valid number. And the Bear Stearns report goes on to say that many, many millions, as a matter of fact, 12 to 15 million jobs in the United States are held by illegal aliens, representing about 8% of the current labor force in our country. The jobs have shifted from the legal workforce, as many Americans know, perhaps some of your listeners know, perhaps they've lost jobs to illegal aliens, and has gone. These workers American workers have been methodically replaced by these lower wage illegal aliens, subsidized by us, the American taxpayers.
And I think I would like to second what Dan has said. We have heard this from our own sources, and a friend of mine received a briefing from people very high within the Treasury Department. And this was people from banks were actually gotten together. They were told there were 20 million illegal aliens in the United States, and the banks should be nice to them, should help them so they can send their money back to their homes, back to their families in other countries, and the banks should work very closely with the illegal aliens so it was not so difficult for them, so they could not be taken advantage of by loan sharks. And what most Americans don't understand, the people at the highest level of our government are promoting illegal immigration. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Dan Sheehy talking about this incredible problem. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dan has estimated there are about 20 million illegal immigrants in this country. And, of course, they are really creating a tremendous impact on our society. So why don't you get into the background? What's wrong with illegal immigration? After all, these are nice people. Most of them are not criminals, although there is a criminal element among them. But they're people here. They want work, and they can't get work in Mexico. So what's wrong? Aren't they just here just doing those jobs that nobody else wants?
Well, certainly there are many good people who come to the United States illegally, and of course this is, as you know, Dr. Stan, this is not an issue about race. This is an issue about our national security, our rule of law, our U.S. Constitution, which states in Article 4, Section 4, that the United States shall protect each state from invasion. This is about our economy, our jobs. There are 12 million Americans currently who cannot find a full-time job. The U.S. government says that the unemployment rate is 5%. That is a lie. It's much higher. I would estimate 8 to 9%, simply because many of the people who have been out for so long are not counted in the government figures. And many Americans have had to take jobs that pay far, far less than they were used to making before. The issue is about crime. As you know, the Mero Salvatrucha, or MS-13 gang from El Salvador, now numbers in the many tens of thousands in the United States. There are 5,000 to 6,000 just in the Washington, D.C. suburbs of Maryland, Virginia. They're one of the most vicious gangs ever in the history of the world. This is an issue about education, health care, welfare costs, public health. As you know, diseases are pouring across our southern border, because it's not like immigrants in decades past who had to go through a screening process. The 10,000 who come across the southern border every day are not screened, and so they come in with various diseases. Many that were eradicated in our country years ago are now returning. So it's a public health crisis. It's a language problem. Turn on the radio, scan across the AM or FM dial, and you will be finding it harder and harder to find an English language station. And as a matter of fact, just in the past week, two English stations went from English to Spanish, one in Modesto, California, and the other in San Jose. The issue is about assimilation. These people are not assimilating because so many are coming across that they have no desire or need to assimilate, and the large corporations just cater to them, whether it's the banks or the mass media. This is not a single issue, as the news media would like us to think. It is a multifaceted issue, and it affects virtually every aspect of our daily lives and society.
And I think what's so difficult for people to understand, that this is part of a long-range plan. And, of course, it's really aimed at destroying the culture and the very sovereignty of our nation. And, of course, what the real goal is to merge the United States with Mexico and with Central and South America as part of a stepping stone towards uniting the entire world. And the traitors in Washington, D.C., swearing to uphold our Constitution, have no intention of doing that. India is well along the way to building a 2,500-mile fence between India and Bangladesh to keep the terrorists, the Muslims, out of their country so they can maintain the stability of their country. But we can't do that here in the United States. Oh, no, we wouldn't even know how to go about beginning to do that. And you listen to 60 Minutes, CBS 60 Minutes, they will tell you that in the areas they've actually built the fences, why the increase of illegal immigration has increased. So the fences caused illegal immigration. Incredible means of simply twisting reality. But let's talk about the impact on health care. Let's talk about what the illegal immigration situation has done as far as driving up health care costs in America and lowering the standard of health care available to law-abiding American citizens.
Well, it has affected us in virtually every aspect of our daily lives. I live in the Los Angeles area. This is ground zero for illegal immigration. It's become really a Mexican colony that Los Angeles area has, surrounded by wealthy gated communities, very similar to cities in Mexico and South America, where there is so much poverty and so much crime and anarchy, and the wealthy elites sit on top of their hills and rake in all the money from the poor laborers. But this is a crisis, and that doesn't affect just Southern California where I live, but it has affected most of the rest of the country now. And the good news is that more and more Americans are waking up because their neighborhoods are turning into Los Angeles.
Well, let's talk less specifically. What about the impact specifically on health care? What about the fact that illegal aliens can come into this country, can get free health care because no hospital emergency room can turn them away? So the legal aliens are going to have to wait a much longer period to get health care in the emergency room. And then what impact has this had on the hospital costs? Because, of course, the hospitals are never paid, number one. And two, what about the emergency rooms here in California and all along the border? What about the trauma units that they used to have taking care of American citizens?
Well, the hospitals, emergency rooms, and trauma units in California, 80 have closed in recent years. More will be closing in the coming years if this crisis isn't stopped. But this is happening in Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, a number of states where the illegals, there's so many illegal aliens, and they're getting the free health care. They can just go into a hospital or emergency room and get free health care, and the American citizens are having to stand in line. In fact, I was one of those unlucky citizens with a kidney stone a year ago. Even though I paid more than $300 for health insurance, my HMO, when I went to the emergency room, had me sit down and wait, and I was in a waiting room with nothing but Spanish-speaking people. This is what happens. It's not just me. It's happening to many, many thousands of Americans across the country. We are becoming second-class citizens in our own country. Dr. Stan?
Certainly, this is driving up the cost of health care, isn't it? Because, of course, the hospitals can't bill the people. They have to be admitted to the hospital, taken care of, and the hospital isn't compensated in most instances for that. And so who's going to pay that?
Well, the American taxpayer pays for it. And unfortunately, we have to pay for these costs. We do it many ways. And it is bankrupting many Americans who need health care and instead are having to spend their tax money to provide health care for people who are illegally in our country.
But, of course, it's actually influencing the hospitals themselves. Many of the hospitals are actually having to close because, of course, they're losing money because of this tremendous burden of being forced by federal law to take care of people who have no intention of paying their hospital bills.
That's absolutely correct. As we pointed out earlier, 80 hospitals, emergency rooms, and trauma centers in California alone in recent years have gone bankrupt and closed because they simply can't afford all of this medical care for the illegal aliens.
What about the cost of education? What has it done to the cost of education, and why are certain states actually subsidizing the college and university education of illegal aliens?
Well, I think they've lost their minds. There are, I think, about half a dozen states that are providing in-state tuition for illegal aliens. And again, American citizens have become second-class citizens behind the illegals because the Americans cannot get that in-state tuition the illegals can.
And so here in the state of California, where you and I live, if you are an illegal alien, you can go to the University of California and get your subsidized education. If you're an American citizen from, Oregon or from Nevada, why you have to pay full freight an extra to probably three times the tuition? And the question is, why in heaven's name are we subsidizing people who are in our country illegally? Now, what about the welfare costs, and what about this concept of the anchor baby that entitles people who are here in this country illegally to all the benefits of welfare?
Well, the anchor baby is a terrible crisis, and that absolutely must change, and I hope your listeners will do everything they can to convince their representatives in Washington to change that policy. In 1868, after the Civil War, there was the 14th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, basically saying that the black Americans in this country were also citizens. And that 14th Amendment, ratified more than 100 years ago, had nothing to do with illegal aliens who can come across the border, and a mother can have a baby, and then that baby becomes an anchor baby, anchoring the whole family in the United States. It makes it very difficult for us to deport the family once that happens.
And, of course, you mentioned earlier about the impact of disease. What diseases are dramatically increasing in America as a direct result of the fact that our federal government is encouraging illegal immigration by refusing to enforce our immigration laws?
Well, there are many diseases. There's tuberculosis, malaria, HIV, even leprosy, believe it or not, is coming into the United States.
And it's really been a resurgence of leprosy. It was almost completely done away with, and now it's back. And not only tuberculosis is coming back, but drug-resistant tuberculosis. In fact, for Mexican citizens, authorities in Mexico will tell them that as soon as you get, in the United States, you go to the hospital, you go to the emergency room at the hospital, they're going to have to give you your anti-tuberculosis drugs, since you can get this treated or even hospitalized here in America. Of course, they don't want to treat that and spend the money in Mexico, so they are encouraging them to come to the United States. And of course, you could understand why the Mexican authorities would do that, but why would the authorities in Washington, D.C. be actively encouraging that, refusing to enforce our immigration laws, refusing to take action against employers who hire illegal aliens? We live in a world gone mad, or maybe there's another agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and why don't you go ahead and pick up the story with this idea that maybe there is another agenda back there that the average individual has no knowledge of.
There is another agenda, and I think it's best illustrated by something that happened in March of last year. Your listeners may recall that it, last spring, in fact it was April of last year, when the Minutemen, regular Americans, mostly grandfathers and grandfathers, about 1,000 of them, went down to the Arizona-Mexico border to patrol the border and simply sit in lawn chairs with binoculars and walkie-talkies and report people coming across the border illegally, report them to the U.S. Border Patrol. Well, interestingly, just a week before the Minutemen began their patrols, President Bush held a summit, a North American summit, at Baylor University in Texas, with President Fox of Mexico and Prime Minister Martin of Canada. And at this summit, which lasted a little over an hour, the three leaders agreed to merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And they agreed to the Security and Prosperity Partnership. This was not reported by the news media. What the news media reported, and I remember this distinctly, and I write about it in my book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy, is that President Bush, on the day of this meeting, March 23rd of last year, he called the Minutemen vigilantes. But the news media did not report the fact that President Bush, who was sworn on the Bible to protect this nation, agreed with the leaders of Canada and Mexico to merge the three countries. 2 months later, the Council on Foreign Relations published a book titled Building a North American Community. In fact, I'm holding the book in my hand. It's about a 58-page report. And in this report, it refers to the March 23rd meeting in Texas between Bush, Martin, and Fox. And it says that the three leaders agreed to integrate the three countries. And the goal is to complete this job by the year 2010. And among the many radical ideas included in this game plan is the free movement of people between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And this is why our president and his administration refuse to secure our borders. They have no intention of doing so. The game plan is to merge the countries, merge the people and the cultures.
And I think it's so difficult for the average individual to honestly believe this would go on. In other words, if a momentous meeting of this sort was held here in the United States, and the three leaders from Canada, the United States, and Mexico were there, and they agreed to do away with the borders, to merge our nations, and of course, when that happens, why, the American people lose their national sovereignty. We lose our Constitution, and we will have the same freedoms that the people of Mexico have. And I suspect, in fact, I fear, we will have the same high standards of living that the Mexicans do. Do you see that as a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. Right now, there are 10,000 people coming across the southern border every single day. These people are mostly illiterate, impoverished, speak a different language, mostly Spanish, although they come from other countries around the world, but it's mostly from Mexico and Central America. They come from third world cultures. And of course, it's just common sense that when you allow millions of people over a period of many years to illegally invade your country.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Daniel Shahi, and Daniel has written a fascinating book, which we are carrying here at Radio Liberty. It's entitled Fighting Immigration Anarchy, America's Patriots' Battle to Save the Nation. Fighting Immigration Anarchy, America's Patriots' Battle to Save Our Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing the final throes of America, and while our attention is focused on what's going on in Iraq, should we stay and continue fighting and face chaos, or should we pull out and that'll lead to chaos as well. And we debate back and forth why we're losing our freedom here at home. And while the young men go overseas to fight for freedom, freedom as we know it is being destroyed because, as Daniel points out, that it was simply, was it earlier this year or last year when they had that meeting at Baylor University?
It was March 23rd of last year.
And, of course, March 23rd of last year, why the President of the United States and the President of Mexico and Canada got together at Baylor University and decided to merge the countries to take down all sorts of border restrictions. And does that, of course, include merging us more or less, not only as far as the borders are concerned, but does it have to do with government activity and things of that sort as well?
Yeah, it does. Includes a number of just totally radical, insane ideas. One would be the merging of the three countries' police and military.
How about our judicial system? Then, would that, of course, be merged that as well? Would we have the same rights that the Mexican peasant does?
It would be the merging of the judicial system. In fact, eventually it would be the world court that would be determining our fate.
And, of course, how could this happen? And the average American would never hear about it. I mean, why didn't the media tell us what was going on at that time, Dan?
They didn't tell us because, as you know, Dr. Stan, most of the media outlets in the United States are controlled by five mega corporations. These are multinational corporations, and the heads of these multinational corporations have no allegiance to the United States. Their country is not the United States. It's the world, and I know about this very much because I was a propagandist for several large corporations. I worked for senior executives on a day-to-day basis, writing press releases, speeches, other materials, and it's why I didn't climb the corporate ladder because I was too ethical and too moral for them.
And I think people have to understand there are people who have a different view of the world. They really have no loyalty to America. They plan to destroy this country, to destroy our Constitution, to do away with our borders, to convert us from an English-speaking nation into a multilingual nation, to change our culture here, to bring in people from other nations with 20 million illegal aliens, and I think that may even be a very conservative estimate, and we find out that they're in the northern states of this country, I mean people up, you know, in Montana and in the state of Washington and up in Maine are having many of the same problems, not as bad as they have in Los Angeles. This is not a racial issue. The illegal aliens are being used in this whole thing as pawns, just as we are being used in pawns by the master puppeteers who are intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and merging us into a new world order and a new world religion. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's absolutely correct, and that is what it's all about. It's the socialist new world order. And in order for the globalists, the internationalists, to achieve this goal of a new world order, they have to bring down the middle class in America. They have to eliminate the middle class. In other words, bring us down to the level of other third world people, and that's what they're doing. And it you know, really, frankly, it's a brilliant strategy. They've been doing it for decades. As a matter of fact, it was in 1965 that Senator Ted Kennedy pushed a bill through Congress that changed our immigration laws, which is why we now are this multicultural illegal alien country, and they created something called chain migration, where they allowed millions of people from third world countries to come to the United States and allowed fewer people from the European countries.
And, of course, Ted Kennedy actually got up and swore before Congress that this would not change the racial makeup of our cities. It would not change the cultural makeup of our cities. And you know how to tell when Ted Kennedy's lying. His lips are moving. But the tragedy is the American people do not understand that there really are people who look at the world differently than you and I, who march to a different drumbeat, who dream a different dream because they worship a different God. And the purpose of those people within these secret organizations, and there really are secret organizations, has always been to use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about a new world order and a new world religion. And as we send our boys over to seas for fight for freedom, we're losing it right here at home. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Daniel Sheehy, and his book is a fascinating book. It's called Fighting Immigration Anarchy. Why don't you talk a little bit about the book and the stories of these people who really are making a difference, who are out there on the front lines fighting for America. They're not over in Iraq, because that's not where the battle is. The battle's right here.
Right, it is right here, and I'm glad you brought up Iraq, because I think it's important to point out to your listeners that since 9/11, which was, 4 years ago now, we have been told by our government and by the mainstream news media every single day, every hour of every day, for 4 years now, that we are in a, quote, war on terror, unquote. And my question, and it should be the question of all of your listeners, that is, if we're in a war on terror, why hasn't our government secured our borders? If we're in a war on terror, why hasn't our government taken steps to deport illegal aliens or to enforce our immigration laws so that the illegal aliens deport themselves? So are we really in a war on terror, or is the war on terror on the American people? I wanted to get that in there, Dr. Stan. The book is mostly, well, it talks about the ugliness, which you and I have discussed for the past half hour or so. The book is mostly about patriotic Americans of all different backgrounds, races, ethnicities, different career paths, who for many years have been awakening Americans, such as myself, and I wanted to write about them in hopes of inspiring other Americans to take action. And these citizens became activists when they realized, like I have realized, that if we are to survive as a nation and a culture, it will be up to us, the American people, to save our country, because the Washington establishment is too corrupt to defend our country and our Constitution that hundreds of thousands of Americans have died to preserve. The book focuses on six individuals, including Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo, who is a true American patriot. I have a 38-page chapter in my book about Congressman Tancredo. It's the longest essay written on him, and he may run for president in the year 2008. He has been talking about that. And in that chapter on Tom Tancredo, he talks about multiculturalism, and he talks about how it is multiculturalism combined with massive illegal and legal immigration. There are 1 million legal immigrants who come into the country every year. Multiculturalism combined with massive illegal and legal immigration are the greatest threats to our country ever.
Hold that thought for just a moment as we bring our other stations back on board with us. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Daniel Sheehy. We're talking about his book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. And, of course, it's basically the story, you know, of what's going on in America today. We are under attack. The average American has no idea. He thinks the attack is over there in Iraq. He thinks, of course, it has something to do with fighting for freedom, you know, over there. Whereas we are losing our country today as part of a carefully planned program. His book deals with six people. One of them is Congressman Tancredo. Of course, he's a Colorado congressman who's trying to bring out the truth about what's going on. I see you've got a section in there on Terry Anderson, who really is an amazing individual. In fact, I know many of the people who you've been writing about. They've been on the front lines of this battle. Barbara Coe, who has an organization, is on the front lines of this battle. People who are risking everything they have, literally risking their lives, to try to get the truth out. That we're losing America right now, right this very day, because there is an organized effort not to stop illegal immigration. This is not a racist issue. Certainly, if this whole thing comes down, why the Mexicans who are here, are going to lose everything, too. There are a lot of wonderful Mexicans and Spanish-speaking people here in this country who want to be Americans. They learn the language. They want to be part of our culture and part of our heritage. But you see, there are others who have a different agenda. And those are the ones who are so dangerous. Before we go on, let's go ahead and get your web page out so people will know how to get in touch with you. Although we will carry your book, I know you have a lot of other information.
Great, thank you. The website is the same as the title of the book. It's fightingimmigrationanarchy.com. And I have lots of very useful information there, including a free chapter table of contents and many endorsements, many reviews from readers, as well as some media who have endorsed the book. The book is available for sale many places. It's available for order at myPublisherAuthorHouse.com, or you can call my publisher at 1-888-280-7715. You can also order the book through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or go to your local bookstore and order it.
Or you can just call our number, and we'll actually carry it. We've actually ordered it. We want to have it on hand because we think it's an important book for our listeners to understand that America is under attack today. And there are a few people who have been really working, trying to get the truth out. And, of course, you're not hearing about them because the media is controlled. And Daniel was talking about how five mega corporations dominate our media. And that's true. We carry a book called The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bekdakian, who's been following this since 1983. What's that, 22 years now? And, of course, he simply points out that it's, when he first got started, 50 mega corporations controlled the media. Now it's down to five. And they largely determine what you hear, what you read, what you see, and ultimately what you believe. And since they can block out anything and censor everything, and the fact that there could be a meeting at Baylor University last year where the President of the United States met with the President of Mexico and the President of Canada and agreed to merge all of these countries. We're building a massive freeway going from Mexico, from Central America, all the way up into Canada. And we are going to, then there'll be no barriers to people coming back and forth. We merge our police force, we merge our judicial system, and when we do that, America, our Constitution, will simply become a remembrance of things past, and people say, that couldn't happen in America. What happens when you tell people this, Daniel? Do some of them have this attitude, this could never happen here?
I've had about 30 speaking engagements since my book was published in July of last year, and the good news is, Dr. Stan, that only a handful, and when I say handful, I'm saying less than five people, have come up to me, verbally attacked me, and said that I'm lying. The good news is that the many, many hundreds that I have spoken to in person have found what I told them credible, and they should, because I've researched my book thoroughly. I spent 2 years researching and writing it, and they are in absolute shock. I have ingrained in my memory the faces of some of the people that I've seen when I have talked about this, what you and I have been talking about for the past 40 minutes or so, and people are stunned. Their mouths drop open, their eyes widen, they can't believe this is happening. But you can kind of see the wheels turning in their minds, and they realize that what I'm telling them is the truth, because they've wondered why for so many, many years, even though we've been pleading with our government, secure our borders, enforce our immigration laws, they now realize why our government is refusing to uphold our laws.
And I think it's so important to go into that legislation that was passed, I think it was about 1986, and Ronald Reagan said, of course Ronald Reagan was the president at that time, you know, a country that cannot maintain its borders, you know, cannot maintain its sovereignty. And that's a very, very true statement. And then of course, because Ronald Reagan always said exactly what I believe, and then Ronald Reagan got legislation passed to make 3 million people who had come into this country illegally, make them legal, but they promised this would never happen again. Oh, this is a one-time thing, and we're going to make all these illegal people illegal here, but we will never do it again. So pick up this story.
Yes, exactly. It was back in 1984 when, as you said, President Reagan sounded a dire warning. He said, the simple truth is that we've lost control of our own borders, and no nation can do that and survive. Well, instead of doing what they were supposed to do, enforce our immigration laws, uphold our Constitution, which states in Article 4, Section 4, that the United States shall protect each state from invasion, President Reagan and Congress, for the first time ever, rewarded about 3 million illegal aliens, mostly from Mexico, with amnesty and a path to U.S. citizenship. Now, they said that to discourage more illegal immigration, they would include employer sanctions. This was in the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986. And this would make it against the law to knowingly hire illegal aliens.
And of course, they absolutely refused to enforce those laws.
Right. The sanctions were never enforced, and that's why So many, many companies now know they can get away with hiring illegal aliens because the government will not enforce our laws.
Of course, we'll go after Martha Stewart and send her to prison. My goodness, you know, after she sold some stock, because she was told by her stockbroker that the price was going to go down, that maybe the price was going to go down. But, of course, we have a much larger problem in this country. We have illegal immigrants being hired by our major industries. And, of course, they promised us that, you know, if we just gave them that amnesty back in 1986, why, they would enforce these laws. But they refused to enforce them. Now they've got another wonderful idea. Every American's going to have an ID card. Every American's going to have to be tracked in this country. And we're going to have to be able to track your cell phones because you might be an illegal alien. And then, of course, if you do not have a card while you're here illegally, and then we're going to ship you back again. What they're going to do is they created the problem. And then the solution is, of course, to do exactly what they did in Hitler's Germany. Everybody in America will have to have their papers. And what we've objected to all along, this idea of every American carrying, you know, a federal ID card and being on a federal, you know, a database and everyone being tracked here in America, this is going on. And the people don't understand that these things are not happening by accident. There are people who sit around planning full-time exactly how they're going to do this. What about the Ford Foundation and their importance as far as financing this whole illegal immigrant movement? And if the Ford Foundation is involved, why don't the people know that?
Well, the people don't know about the Ford Foundation and their anti-American methods because the news media won't tell them about it. The Ford Foundation in 1968, 3 years after Congress, thanks to Senator Ted Kennedy and others, and President Lyndon Johnson, opened their doors to massive out-of-control immigration. In 1968, the Ford Foundation created two racist Hispanic organizations. One was the MLDEF, the Mexican-American Legal Educational Defense Fund, and the other one was the National Council of La Raza. So La Raza meanings the race in Spanish, people of Mexican descent. And the goal of the Ford Foundation was to divide the United States, to bring in all of these people who would have no allegiance to our country, and to balkanize the country. And that was the goal. They have invested tens of millions of dollars in these Hispanic organizations. These are separatist organizations. They aren't like other Hispanic organizations made up of members who truly love America. These are separatists who seek to break up the country.
And they really do want, of course, to break California and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas off and reunite them with Mexico because the Americans stole these countries from Mexico. And they, of course, want to take over the control of these countries and seize the property from the Anglos who have it illegally. And as one of them said, you know, you Anglos better get used to thinking about going back to Europe where we belong because we're taking over. Now, you have to understand all of this inflammatory rhetoric is simply to divide our people, to get English-speaking people to hate Mexicans and Mexicans to hate Americans. And it's really all about divide and conquer because their true goal is a dictatorship. And there really are people in America who want that. And some of them are working at the highest levels of our government today, focusing our attention on Iraq while we lose our freedom in America. Well, you know, as you get into the background of this, and this is having a profound economic impact really on a lot of people here working in the United States. Hasn't this begun to lower our wage levels here?
Well, it is lowering our wage levels, and the economic impact is just huge. In California alone, the impact is $10 billion, that's with a B, $10 billion per year. That's to pay for education, health care, incarceration of illegal aliens just in the state of California. But the costs are huge and growing in other states. Colorado, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Kansas, name the state, and they're impacted by this. They're having to educate Mexico's children, and this is amounts to tens of billions of dollars a year.
And, of course, the difficulty is that if you're a police officer and you find somebody's an illegal alien, you can't, call INS. If you are working in a hospital and the people are here illegally, you can't let the immigration naturalization people know about that. Oh, no, you'd be, impinging on these people's constitutional rights or some foolish thing like that. I mean, they catch the people, they let them go on their own recognizance, promising that they'll come back for the immigration hearings. That's what happened to this Salvo. You remember, he was one of the shooters there on the East Coast. He was actually arrested in the state of Washington, being here illegally, and then let go on his own recognizance and went back with, of course, his buddy and started killing people along the East Coast. And I'm not suggesting most of the people would do something like that. I think that most of them are nice people. They just want a better life. But a better life at destroying America. This is what it's really all about. They're being used as pawns. We're being used as pawns. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Daniel Sheehy, who's written a fascinating book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy, and who are some of the other people who've really been on the front lines of this battle?
Well, one that you mentioned earlier is Terry Anderson. Terry, whose home I visited several times, he's a poor black American living in South Central Los Angeles. Terry is an auto mechanic. He had a thriving business in the 1980s, but then in the late 80s and early 90s, as more illegal aliens entered the Los Angeles area, his business went downhill because he was undercut by this cheaper labor. And now Terry is struggling to make a living. The good news is that in the early 90s, Terry looked around, and he looked around his community, and he said, well, nobody's doing anything about this. I'm going to do about it. And he became a citizen activist. And now Terry is a pretty powerful talk radio host who has a program in many states across the country broadcast out of Los Angeles. He's become an outstanding public speaker. I've heard him many times. And what Terry does, he tells the story of the black community as America's canary in the immigration coal mine. He's quite an interesting fellow.
I laugh every time I think of him because I've heard him speak many times. Has a wonderful sense of humor.
He does have a wonderful sense of humor. He's a great American. He loves this country, and he's outraged that our government is allowing it to be invaded. Another fellow I write about in the book is Roy Beck. Roy Beck was one of the very first environmental reporters in the country going back to the early 1970s. And around 1990, as I write in my book, he concluded that true conservation required that the immigration fueled population explosion needed to be controlled. He realized that all of the issues, all the things that the senators and representatives on Capitol Hill were debating, no matter what they pertain to, that none of them, virtually none of them, would be solved until we solved this problem of massive immigration. Roy later went on to become an author of several books, and then he started an organization called NumbersUSA.com, and I really encourage your listeners to become NumbersUSA members. It costs absolutely nothing. I joined 3 years ago through NumbersUSA.com. You can, through their really ingenious faxing system, you can fax a letter to your representative on Capitol Hill, senator or congressman or both, and on these various immigration bills that are being debated on Capitol Hill as we speak, as a matter of fact. Well, not as we speak, but later this month they will resume. And also NumbersUSA.com will show you the voting records, the immigration voting records of all the senators and all the representatives, so you can see who is pro-American and who is anti-American.
And, of course, the difficulty is we have a lot of people who have been elected to our Congress and to our Senate who are anti-American, who hate this country, whose loyalty is to this dream, the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, you know, certainly, Glenn Spencer, what about Glenn? Do you cover him at all?
Yeah, I have a 38-page chapter on Glenn. Glenn's a fascinating individual. He began to take notice right after 1986, when President Reagan amnestied the nearly 3 million illegal aliens in the country. And a few years later, Glenn, who has a background in economics and finance and computers, he studied this in 1990, and he realized what was happening was we were being invaded. Really, there was an invasion in the United States, and that if this wasn't stopped, we would become a third world country. So Glenn has been studying this and warning Americans for 15 years. And Glenn currently is down on the Arizona-Mexico border, where he has unmanned aerial planes that go across the border, and then he beams those images with an infrared camera, beams images onto his website, AmericanPatrol.com, so Americans can see the invasion for themselves that the news media refuses to show them.
And, of course, which the government refuses to do anything about. Oh, they pretend we're going to do something. Well, look, if India can build a 2,500-mile-long fence, and India's not that wealthy a nation, why can't America? They can spend hundreds of billions of dollars distracting our attention over in Iraq. Why can't we build a fence to, of course, maintain our borders and keep the terrorists out? And the truth of the matter, they're not worried about the terrorists, and they certainly don't want to keep out the illegal aliens. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly our guest is Daniel Sheehy. We've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and certainly Glenn Spencer is doing an amazing job. And, of course, how can people get in touch with Mr. Beck and, of course, use his facilities?
Well, thank you for asking, because I really encourage this. If your listeners don't do anything else, they should at least go to numbersusa.com. It's simple. It costs nothing. You can become a member today, and you can get involved. You can become a citizen activist yourself. And it's interesting, when I interviewed Roy Beck, it was a year and a half ago for my book, he had 45,000 members who were faxing their congressmen through the numbersusa.com system. He now has 125,000 members. And it shows you that more and more Americans are waking up to this crisis and are getting involved, because they realize that it is up to us, the American citizens, to save our country, because the establishment in Washington refuses to do so.
And I think that's really what's so difficult for most people to understand. They honestly think that the president, who talks about how important it is to maintain our freedom, you know, that's why we're fighting over there in Iraq, is to maintain our freedom here for unborn generations. And yet, the truth of the matter is that they're not worried about unborn generations here, because their loyalty is not to the United States. It is this globalist dream, and you really get into that in fair detail, don't you?
Yes, I do, and it is a globalist dream, that the socialist New World Order. You know, as I said earlier, if we were in a war on terror, as we are told every hour of every day now for 4 years, why isn't our government enforcing our laws and upholding our Constitution and stopping this invasion of our country, instead of going to another country 6,000 miles away, invading that sovereign country, and sending all of, you know, sending our military over there, and spending hundreds of billions of dollars, instead of very easily, as you pointed out about India, putting a fence on our own border? Well, the reason is because they don't want to, because that would get in the way of their goal of merging the countries and creating a new world order. But the good news is there are people out there. The immigration reform movement is growing. I think it will turn into something even bigger as more people awaken to the true motives behind this invasion and why it is happening, rather than just the symptoms, but they look at why this is happening. And I believe in the theme of the book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy, the theme of my book is that individuals can do extraordinary things if they set their mind to it. Just as Jim Gilchrist, the head of the Minuteman Project, who ran for Congress in Orange County, California last month, and Roy Beck, and Barbara Coe, and Tom Tancredo, and so many other people I write about in my book, these are individuals. They've achieved extraordinary things.
Time. Thanks so very much for being with us. Well, this is Dan, I want to thank you very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, and I do hope people will want to get your book. It's called Fighting Immigration Anarchy, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we also have a four-tape set on the subject. Thanks so very much for being with us, Daniel. Please keep us in touch with us, and maybe we can get you on again.
Will do. Thank you very much, Dr.
Bye-bye. God bless you. All right, fine. Well, I don't think this is a very important subject. And until you can grasp the fact that nothing you are hearing in the media and nothing you are watching on television really is true, everything is an illusion. And it is all to distract you from the fact that America is under attack today. I never forget, 1988 is when I ran for Congress against one of the most powerful men in the House of Representatives, Leon Panetta. And it was that year that Senator Hayakawa, who was a Japanese-American, but he was an American, and he was concerned about the move towards multilingualism here, and he wanted to get through a legislation that would make English the official language of the United States. And he was bucked at every turn, and the most powerful people in the country didn't want America to be the legal language, the official language of the United States. And Senator Hayakawa couldn't understand that. Well, of course, it should be very obvious to you to understand what it's about. It is about the fact that the real purpose is to unify the world, multicultural, multilingual, do away with sovereignty. We will all live happily together in the new coming fascist society. And that's what it's really all about. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And then, of course, you need to get our pamphlets. Entitled The Occult Hierarchy, the three of them, and they're all $9.95, all three of them. They will give you the background of the spiritual forces that are moving us towards the world government. If you really want to understand the war on terrorism and what happened on 9/11, you may think that you know what happened, but of course you really don't know what happened. And I suggest you get our pamphlets entitled Foreknowledge 9/11. Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, they're only all $9.95 for the three of them. There's so much material out there that you need to get. Certainly our four-tape set, 9/11 update, interviews with people who really tracked what really happened. Did you know, for instance, one of the hijackers that actually turned himself in and told them ahead of time exactly what they were going to do? Did you know that Bill Gertz of the Washington Times had written an article, and it was published? We have the email that was up on the, pardon me, the Internet article up on the Internet months before the 9/11 attack, talking about hijacking planes and crashing them into the World Trade Center of the Pentagon. Unfortunately, Mr. Gertz has forgotten that. I've asked him about the article which we had when we pulled down off the Internet on September 11, 2001. Mr. Gertz, who obviously gets a lot of leaks from the CIA, doesn't remember writing the article, but we have it. If you want to check it out, we'll be glad to send you copies. You need to get the information. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. An excellent place to start. Daniel Sheehy's book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. Our four-tape set on immigration. And then, of course, you need to, if you want to get the free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you want to understand why the price of electricity is going up, of natural gas, of gasoline, of diesel fuel, why, of course, you need to get our newsletter, Peak Oil, too, if you can get it on the Internet, but, of course, we can be glad to send you a free copy if you haven't gotten things from us before. If you want to understand Iraq, why you need to get our article, newsletter, Deja Vu in Iraq. And then, of course, we hope that you will pray for America, that you will pray for revival. Because if America doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason why God should maintain our freedom here? We need to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.